Good evening, everyone. Tonight we move to Perek Beis of the Mesilas Yesharim, a perek entitled Beveor Midas Hazahirus, explaining the virtue of vigilance. The Mesilas Yesharim goes through a progression of different midos that are actually outlined by a brisa that serves as actually the basis or the organizing principle of the Mesilas Yesharim. And as we'll see as we go through the Sefer, one Mida leads to another. You seek to acquire different character traits, and one leads to the next. It's a kind of ladder that ascends. And at the beginning is the Mida of Zahiros, the virtue of vigilance. Now, this happens to be one of my favorite Perakim of the Mesilas Yesharim. I think I probably said that about the Hakdama and about Perak Aleph too. But this one in particular, I think, speaks to not only important foundational principles in Avodas Hashem generally, but I think also uniquely speaks to our particular moment and juncture in history. And you'll see what I mean by that in a moment. In this parak, the Ramchal highlights the importance of taking moments out of our day to focus on what things are about. If you remember, on Tuesday night, we spoke about how the Yesod HaChassidus V'Shorash HaAvodah, the starting step, is just to think about what our purpose is, what our mission is, what is our destination in life, where are we going, what are we trying to do, what are we trying to achieve. But in Perek Beis, he notes that it's not enough to just think about it every now and then in an abstract sense. You need to actually, proactively, take time out to stop every now and then, maybe even every day, to focus on those ideas, those guiding principles in our lives. And he notes the danger of progressing through life, a life in which we are so busy that we don't have any time to stop and think about those things. The line that I want to focus on tonight is a line that appears in the middle of the parak. He says, "V'ulam hinei zos be'emes achas mitachbulos hayetzer hara ve'armasa." He says, if you want to know one of the great strategies of the yetzer hara that he employs in order to trip us up, the Yetzer Hara seeks to make us, in essence, so busy, so involved in different things, that we have no revach, we have no moments of tranquility, to actually contemplate, to actually stop to recalibrate and focus on where we're going and whether it's actually where we are supposed to be going. We're just so preoccupied with everything going on in our lives that we don't have any quiet moments to actually stop, think, focus on what's most important, and reorient ourselves towards the direction that is most appropriate. I mentioned on Tuesday that he provides the analogy, the metaphor of someone seeking to climb a mountain blindfolded. If you have no time to actually orient yourself and recognize what direction you're going in and look at the pitfalls on your left and on your right, then there's no way you're actually going to reach the destination. He argues that this was actually the plot of Paro. When Moshe and Aaron present their case to Paro, and he says, you know what, now I'm going to double up the work to the Bnei Yisrael, the Ramchal says that wasn't just a punishment. It wasn't just punitive. Oh, you asked for freedom, therefore I'm going to make the work even harder for you. It was a strategy. It was a calculated strategy. Paro was a horrific, genocidal, authoritarian ruler, and he knew that if the people had time to think, to focus on who they are, on their national past, of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, on their aspirations for the future, on the message that Moshe and Aaron were preaching, he knew that there would be a spark lit within them, and indeed, they would be destined to leave Mitzrayim. So he decided to double up the work again, not just as a punitive measure, but in order to ensure that they just didn't have any time, no time to focus on what was most important in their lives. Now, of course, this is a common problem. The Yetzer Hara hasn't just been using this trick for the last year or two. He's been using this trick for a long time. People like to say, you know, we're going to come up to Erev Rosh Hashanah, and people say one of the reasons why we stop blowing the shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah is to confuse the Satan, right? Then, of course, the classic question is, oh, we've been doing it every single year. He hasn't caught on yet, but he still falls for it. My response is, we fall for his tricks every single year, right? He pulls the same thing on us every single year. So you know, before you start belittling the Satan, maybe we should learn from our mistakes as well. But this is, again, a time-tested old strategy of the Satan. There's a Gemara Bava Basra that says that one of three things that a person can't escape from every single day is iyun tefillah. It's an aveira that happens every single day. And Tosos, commenting on that Gemara, say it refers to getting distracted during davening. You can't, none of us can take a moment to just, three times a day, to just focus on davening. The Gemara says, all of us, again, and this is going back to the times of Chazal, get distracted. None of us have this ability to just purely focus. We're constantly being distracted by all the other things that are involved in our lives. So it's not a new problem. It's a problem that goes back a long time, and it's certainly been a problem highlighted by the Ramchal for the last several hundred years. But as I suggested at the outset, I think this problem has reached just dramatically acute proportions in the time and era that we live in the technological age that we live in, when we just cannot escape all of the busyness, all of the things that are preoccupying us on a daily basis. There is no escape whatsoever. I think this could have been said 15, 20 years ago, but now certainly in the era of a smartphone, when we all carry our jobs literally in our pockets always, there's just no escape. We're constantly being bombarded with information, whether it be work-related or just general interests-related. There's always something buzzing in our pockets, reminding us, or distracting us, rather, from what we need to actually be focused on. There's never a moment of quiet anymore. There's never a moment where you could just turn down the noise and hear the birds or breathe fresh air and focus on what we're actually supposed to be focusing on. We don't have opportunities for that anymore. Dr. Pelkovitz is very fond of Dr. David Pelkovitz, well-known from psychologist from Great Neck. He's fond of highlighting a study where they had people sit in a room, a bare room, so nothing to entertain you, nothing to catch your gaze or to capture your imagination, just a bare room. And there was a button in the room. And they told people, maybe some of you have heard this from Dr. Pelkowitz before, they told people, the button is a shocker. It's going to shock you. You just have to sit in the room, let's say for 20 minutes. And they left people sitting in the room. And they wanted to see how many people were going to shock themselves while sitting in this room. And I think it was something like 70% of people would rather cause pain, inflict pain on themselves, rather experience the pain of the shock than just, chas v'shalom, sitting with their own thoughts for 20 minutes. And people would shock themselves multiple times. Once, all right, you got to try it. You got to see what it's actually like, right? But they would do it once, they would do it multiple times because the agony of just sitting still is something that we can't tolerate anymore. Better to inflict the physical pain of shocking yourself than the psychological trauma of, Rahman al-Islam, sitting for 20 minutes alone with your own thoughts, focusing on what's important. We're not capable of doing it. He highlights another study where they asked people to assess how many times, or estimate how many times they pick up their phones over the course of a day. And people dramatically underestimated how many times they pick up the phone. If you said 20, it was closer to 70. If you said 50, it was closer to 150. We're so distracted that we don't even realize how distracted we are. We don't even realize how often we're picking up the phones. And it's not just a problem that impacts society at large. It's a problem that impacts all of us. From Yidden too, myself included, I'm fond of a story that Rabbi Shalom Axelrod once said. Shalom Axelrod is the Mar D'Asra of the Young Israel of Windmere. And he once said that he was coming home from shul one day, and he was walking into his house, and he was answering text messages, and he had 100 text messages to respond to. This is a story that I've come to appreciate a lot more in the last month. So he's responding to 100 text messages, and he gets one from his wife. His wife was standing in the next room. She was standing in the kitchen. And he looks at the text, and it says, disconnect. She had to text him to tell him to disconnect because he was so locked in to the technology around him. And that's something that, again, I think impacts all of us to greater or lesser degrees. We've lost the ability to stop and think. To the extent that it's no longer a simple skill. You'll hear on the radio, they used to have these advertisements for silence retreats. Anybody heard of this? It was like a Mormon thing or something like that. You'd go out to some isolated farm in the middle of Pennsylvania. You had to check in all of your technology beforehand. Technology was strictly prohibited. If they find you using technology, you're thrown out. And people would pay their hard-earned money for someone to compel them to put down their technology, because people, we're just incapable of doing it now. But doing so is so important, as the Ramchal highlights. And the Torah tries to create opportunities for us to do so. Of course, Shabbos is an obvious example where we're compelled to put things down. And the Torah tells us, "Mimitzo chetzach v'daber davar," you're not supposed to talk about business matters. Just let go. Just let it go for a little bit. Focus on the important things. Even davening three times a day, it might be hard, as the Gemara in Bava Basra highlights. But that's also an opportunity to try to let go and focus on the things that are important. But I would humbly suggest that very often, I'll talk about myself, Those moments are not enough. We need to proactively pursue other moments to just stop and stand still and turn down the noise and breathe in some air and focus on what's important. In Hasidus, there's a concept of hisbodidus, of spending some time alone. Those of you who know me know that I'm not a Hasid Shiid. I'm definitely not a Breslover Hasid. But hisbodidus, what a valuable spiritual exercise. Taking a moment just to stop and to force yourself to proactively stop and think about what's most important. There's no way, as the Ramchal highlights, there's no way we're going to attain spiritual achievements in this world if we can't find moments to just stop and focus on where we're at and where we're going and what's most important. We have an opportunity in the coming days to really focus on these themes. This is going to be our last Chabura before Rosh Hashanah, before the Yemei Din, before the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. I would urge everyone, find a moment to do that. Before Rosh Hashanah, of course, ideally, but if not before Rosh Hashanah, over the course of Rosh Hashanah, over the course of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, just finding moments to proactively stop ourselves, not just to let it happen passively, to force ourselves to sit and think about where we are and where we want to be and what is the gap between those two and how we can minimize that gap and how we can pursue the destinations that we want to arrive at in life. That is an essential exercise for spiritual growth. That's highlighted by the Messias HaShem Perek Beis. And let us all indeed pursue those exercises over the course of the days ahead.